Today,
we welcome
our good friend Stanislav Krapivnik to our channel. Hello. Hi, Stanislav. Good evening.
Good.
Hello. He is a Russian-American military commentator and a former service member of the United States Army.
An analyst.
Yes, an analyst. An expert, actually, better called an expert. An expert and an analyst, yes. He already has a long track record in this work. He is also a specialist in logistics and business, if I understood that correctly.
Supply basically oil and gas supply.
Yes, yes, yes. That is his area. And welcome, Stanislav. This is the third time you have accepted an invitation to appear on our channel undercover. Let's go straight to the first question from our viewers, if that is okay. Okay. What is happening today in the media, and what kind of anti-Russian propaganda is being spread on our territory?
Следующего, это что будет с Зеленским и когда это произойдет, если у вас так, какая там информация, и как вы относитесь к нашему чехословацкому народу и как большинство российских граждан относится к нашему народу, что, ну, знаете, что происходит сегодня в СМИ и какая идет пропаганда антироссийская на нашей территории.
Well, let's start with Zelensky. Well, I am a traditionalist. I prefer an executioner and a big axe on Red Square. And a pike, of course. There should be a pike. And that would be how to finish it with Zelensky. Some other, more traditional approaches would include a bonfire. Well, something like that. I do not know why we do not strike them, specifically their leadership. Because when people come out, I am actually preparing an article on this topic. You often hear people say, there is no point in destroying these. They are not even Nazis, they are simply blatantly corrupt, satanic people. There is no point in striking them. Another one will just come. But that is a lie. It is an absolute lie. I will tell you why. In Russia, there is an ideology. Even if officially it does not exist, it does. Soldiers who shout, or officers who shout for God and for the motherland and go into mortal combat, that is ideology. In Iran, there is an ideology. In China, there is an ideology. In Europe, there is no ideology. No, there is one, but the people are its victims, not part of that ideology. In Ukraine, there is not even that thin ideology of European values. There, it is just a feeding trough. The pigs have come. The pigs are devouring the people. The pigs eat everything in sight. The pigs are not willing to die for some so-called hoko land. For them, it is simply a feeding trough. A perfect example, Zelensky. His parents live in Ashkelon, in the palace he bought them. His wife and children live in London, in a palace, and he is the ninth largest private landowner in the United States, through a front company. There was a report by American journalists. He bought up huge amounts of land in Montana and other places. Ranches. And it is paid with your money too, because all those funds go through him. I am not talking about Basich right now. Babich. I have a friend named Babich. All right. I just have a terrible memory for names. Babich is taking a different approach, as we can see. but the previous ones too, you must understand. All the money going to Ukraine, that whole elite European scum, they get kickbacks. Zelensky and his group also get their cut. Here is an example of a former defense minister. He served as defense minister for only 1 year. Now he is in a position. Yermolov. Not Yermolov, sorry. God, what is his name?
Shoigu?
No, Ukraine, right? Yes.
I do not remember either.
One second. I will check. Give me 1 second. Well, I will tell you about him while I look up his name. The man served 1 year as defense minister. Darn it. 1 second.
This man, after that year, went to England.
No, he did not go to England. No, to the United Kingdom. Where is the ministry list? 1 second, he sat in that position for 1 year. Later, now he holds a position on the Security Council. Umerov. Rustam Umerov. He served 3 years. Sorry, I misspoke. 3 years. To understand who Rustam Umerov is as a perfect example. He and his entire family received United States citizenship in 2016. His whole family, even his father-in-law, mother-in-law, and brother and their families, live in the United States, in Florida. Over those 3 years, on a modest salary, he bought a huge amount of real estate, registering each property for a different family member under a separate limited liability company called Incorporated Limited. Each year they shuffle ownership to make it hard to trace who owns what, in case some future Ukrainian government wants to reclaim everything. People like that. If you start getting rid of them, they will not remain in Ukraine. Newcomers will not replace them, because Ukraine is a cash cow. And when the feeding trough gets too dangerous, you take what is left and run. There is no ideology there. So Zelensky, in my opinion, and everyone around him, should have been sent to meet the Lord long ago. In the most direct sense. Well, that is my view. And about the Czechs. See, Russians have this habit of viewing other peoples as friends or enemies, not as cold, straightforward policy. Especially, that's the cat. One of them. Yes, I see. So, this is not about makeup or wires here. For some reason, he likes to start chewing the headphone cord. Pan-Slavism, of course, is gone. That is gone, and there is no friendship or brotherhood in Russia. Oh God, I did not sleep half the night. Well, the working class, I cannot find the word, excuse me. That is gone. It is more of a cold realpolitik now. Those two things, the ones present during the First and Second World Wars, are absent, but... And the Russian people, not the Russian state, contrary to the stories the West likes to tell, have long had many mixed marriages going back to the 9th and 10th centuries. That European racism, which Europeans like to spread among themselves and onto others. In any case, the hope is, of course, that we will not have to fight the Czech Republic. Исим Мокс. is, and you know me. Two mokes. Two, clearly we would be fighting Europe, not Russian Europe. Russia's 42% of Europe and growing. But it grows only on Russian lands because what we are fighting for is historical Russian land. We have no interest in anything else. Absolutely no interest. Right now there is no interest in going into that Europe at all. The only thing non-Russian Europe has are historical cultural centers. You can just go visit them. They do not need to be under the Russian flag, and we should not pay for them. You can go and come back home. Europe has no resources. Certain industries in Europe are effectively gone. Europe lacks technologies. The infrastructure is rotten. Society is rotten, and God knows they are actively replacing Europeans as fast as they can. After a war with Russia, which is inevitable for much of Europe, because their leadership very much dreams of it. Yeah, average European men will simply no longer exist, and there will be a new race. Because when you bring in millions of men aged 18 to 40, without their women or children, with fewer than 10% women and children, that means someone will take your grandmothers. Just to put it bluntly, and it has already started.
It is just that right now it is rape. In the West, this has already started, yes.
And when there are no men left at all, and German men showed themselves to be absolute weaklings, when in Cologne, 1,000 women were raped on one New Year's night. If that had happened in Russia, not a single one of those migrants would have survived. Yes, just. And the local authorities would have fallen too. They would have fled for their lives. And in Germany, that is all considered normal. A couple of men who tried to defend were simply beaten by mobs. And all the other men, spineless cowards, hid behind their beer and tried to forget that their wives, daughters, girlfriends, and others had been raped. Some foreigners. We had something like that once in Murmansk. Many migrants came to Murmansk, arriving legally as tourists in Russia, buying bicycles, then going to Norway and applying for migrant status. Well, Norway got tired of taking that wave and started sending them back to Russia. But the Norwegian consulate was taking some of these people every week. They stayed in Murmansk, filed applications, and waited. Some of those so-called poor refugees actually had enough money to go out and party. They went to clubs and started groping Russian women. They seriously misjudged that. We may be in Europe, but we are not Europeans. We are fierce. We are Slavs. When people started beating them, and the police arrived, the police started beating them too. About 16 of them ended up in the hospital, and they were arrested. After that, that kind of incident never happened again. That was 6-7 years ago. That is it. So, that is how it went. Again, of course, you would like to be friends, but it is not in our hands.
Yes, it is in our hands to do something about it. But there is a process that in a few decades could leave Western Europe as a Euro-Islamic caliphate. And you can already see the results in Germany, in the United Kingdom, in France. But we will have a Ukrainian Czech caliphate too. We have that migration from Ukraine here, you know? But
yes, yes. And they are all super patriots and nationalists. The farther they are from the front line, the more nationalist they become. spineless scum, so to speak. I am friends with a couple of those people because they all became ultra-nationalists. Those who are sitting in Canada, those who are sitting in the United States, those kinds of people, also brave. So why do you not go back to Ukraine? Oh, and someone sitting in Australia, my niece's husband, the whole family are ultra-nationalists. Well, go then, fight. You are more needed there in your warm spot as far away as possible on the other side of the world from Ukraine than fighting for it at home. Well, sure, you are typical. They are two completely different personalities. I am staying out of it. In English, that is called virtue signaling. But here it is a bit more than virtue signaling. Here they also expect to be taken care of.
Next question. What is the real situation with Yermak? Has he already been taken to prison or not? And when will it be Zelensky's turn? And what are the scenarios for ending the Ukrainian conflict, if you have any information?
There are three possible scenarios. Either we finally launch a full-scale offensive, and there are over 300,000 troops in reserve near Ukraine. Yes, that can be done. Two tank armies, and we'll start seriously destroying the entire Ukrainian elite and leadership, which, for some reason, we have not touched so far. We have not touched them for 4 years. They have not killed a single Russian general, and for some reason, we do not touch them. They carry out terrorist attacks in Russia, and for some reason, we do not touch them. As a military man, I do not really understand a lot of what we are doing. None of the military understands it. These are political decisions, because militarily speaking, frankly, a smirch should have been used long ago. Absolutely, there should be a smirch. And traitors should have been publicly executed long ago. For those who are ready to go and blow up their own officers, or do it for money. There is no need to pity such people. Their fate should not be open to appeal. It is already clearly recorded when they took the money, when they went along with it. One thing is if they act for some real ideology, but when it is for money, there is no ideology at all. It is simply selling out. If there is a huge offensive that simply crushes the Ukrainians, that is one thing. That would mean, well, maybe Northern Europe will go to war. Maybe not. Russia's authority would be at a very high level. If we simply cleared the Ukrainians from our territories, who entered our zone, and then somehow agree to a ceasefire, it would be only a ceasefire. There is no one in Europe you can really make a deal with. No one there is capable of negotiating. We saw that with Hollande, we saw that with Merkel. Russia will have much less authority. Well, it will still give Russia some authority. And if we negotiate and somehow legitimize Zelensky, that he wants to meet with Putin so badly. He is an illegitimate leader, an illegal dictator. So what? He needs to sit with Putin to show. See, Putin sat with me. Now I am legitimate. That means he recognized me as the legitimate authority. If they sit down together, it will be effective. And that will happen. If we do that, I think it will be a total failure, and in 5 years, we will be in a much bigger war again. And during those 5 years, they will be undermining the United States from within. They even say it openly. So those are the three scenarios. Now, I think the scenario will be a little different. Right now, we have either a conventional war with Europe looming, or in 3 months, a nuclear war with the entire West. and an inevitable confrontation is coming. Just yesterday, 137 drones hit Moscow. Most were shot down, about 10 got through, hit civilian buildings, killed 3 people. They are trying to recover another body, and there are more wounded. They hit apartment buildings. I have photos from Zelenograd where whole sections of a high-rise were blown out. They cannot reach military bases. They need to kill someone to earn extra bonus points. If you do not know what I am talking about, this is called the gamification of war. Why do these inhuman scum even kill an old woman? They earn points for every victim. If it is military equipment, that's better. If it is civilian equipment, that is worse. Even killing a small child just to get some points. Those units earn these points, and at the end of the month use them to buy extra equipment, extra meals, provisions, something like that. Yes, that is how it works. The West came up with this system, and now it is being tested there.
They generally do not take drone operators prisoner. Ukrainian ones, they do not survive. That is how it is. So, when they can, they at least strike children or animals. They have to kill something. This is Western Satanism. The West's goal now, since they plan to start building drones in Armenia, is to overload the Russian air defense system from all sides at a level Russia will not be able to stop. For now, it is coping. Of course, you can overload it if there are too many, but what they can do is very limited. Sometimes they find certain corridors. It looks like they will build what they call radar walls. A proposal has been made. It is actually quite cheap to do. You put up towers, each with a low one-power radar system that can see roughly 10 kilometers. One tower every 20 kilometers. That way you can quickly cover the whole country. The electronics are not very expensive, and they warn you when something is flying through a corridor. This can be done quickly with modern technology. Looks like that is what will happen. This is not a secret. It is being discussed in public sources. Looks like they will move forward with it. Those are the proposals. But what is the West's objective? Overload the Russian system and then start destroying what? We have already seen how they try to destroy our radar systems. They even struck the systems protecting our strategic nuclear bombers, one of the 3 pillars of nuclear power. If they can catch submarines in ports, of course they will try that too. What will happen if some viewers start saying, "Ooh, great," in Russian? Understand one thing. A nuclear power does not lose a war. It destroys everyone from the face of the earth, and it will be that way. Why? Because Russia and all the other reasonable countries, except the masters of Europe, the United States of America, and Israel, those 2 powers have a first U.S. strike policy. Officially, Israel does not have nuclear weapons, but in reality, they have about 90. All the other states that have any sense stick to a second nuclear policy, a retaliatory strike. Russia is one of them. But the logic is changing here, very drastically, fundamentally. If Russia is blind and threatened with a first strike, only one option remains for Russia. Use all the weapons it has at hand. Tomorrow, there might be no one left alive to use them, because nuclear logic dictates that Russia will wipe out all of Europe and the United States, everything north of the Mexican border, in a first strike. There will be no survivors left in Europe, because Europe will burn first, and after some time, about 20 minutes later, the United States. Minia Kalardi. My Diuzesis teach that one war. Yes, of course, some will hit Russia as well. Welcome to that. That is the logic of nuclear weapons. Europeans, most of the non-Russian European people are sheep who do not want to understand this, and their leaders are just scoundrels who are either too stupid or who sacrifice their own people to their mania, their Satanism. Yes, yes, how else to say it? We are on the verge of that. Alternatively, Russia should strike every factory, or at least partially strike a factory, for example, in Poland or in Germany, those that produce these drones. Well, then it will be a conventional war. Fine, if there is war, then war it will be. We have a reserve, the Russian military reserve, those who have at least some combat experience, 32 million people. Oh, but this would no longer be the Ukrainian war. It would get very intense. Every European city would gradually be turned into ruins. We would just level everything indiscriminately. There will be no mercy left. The last 5 years have shown everyone the level of racism and Russophobia in Europe. There are a lot of disappointed people, and against Europe, this, in Russia, public opinion is always like a pendulum, sometimes very pro-European, sometimes very anti-European. Right now it is very anti-European. When all this racism spilled over, that Russian children were victims of those members of the North Atlantic Treaty Organization for 10 years, nobody cared. 8 years, no one cared. It was all clear. People in Russia somehow did not notice, because the war was happening over the border. Officially, it was not Russian land anyway. Those were Russians there. The general population did not really pay attention to that. They call it the Ukrainian anti-terrorist operation, which is actually against the Constitution of Ukraine. Well, what does the Ukrainian Constitution matter? Now it is all very noticeable, and I can say that the Ukrainians have managed to do among a very large part of the Russian population what only the Germans and Hungarians managed to do before. They taught Russians to hate, to openly hate. And now that brotherly people, for the majority of Russians, that is gone. They are an enemy that must be wiped out. If you ask the average Russian, who cares if Kyiv still stands now? We can rebuild it later. Once it is ours, wipe them all out. Opinions are moving toward that very, very strongly now. The anger is growing at an incredible speed. I can say I covered the parade on Red Square. Well, not on Red Square itself. I was in a hotel with Artie. We were standing on a stage. The parade was behind United States through Zariady Park. Most people I knew, and I will say I was one of them, hoped the Ukrainians would do something. Everyone hoped the Ukrainians would try to strike the parade, so that there would be no option left but to erase Kyiv from the face of the earth. Ultimately, to do what we had been talking about. Sadly to say, they did not go through with it. The Americans warned them too strongly. That is the mood in Russia right now.
That was the next question. What is the mood in Russian society after 4 years of the special military operation in Ukraine? How effective is the draft into the Russian army? Is the so-called demon of sorrow or the demon of unrest already being awakened by the fifth column? I do not know. Unrest, yes. How would you assess the results of the entire special military operation, the so-called demilitarization of Ukraine?
On the battlefield, denazification is going very well. About 1,500 dead a day on the Ukrainian side. One acquaintance I interviewed, he was wounded. He was in assault infantry. After his wound, they moved him to an evacuation unit. What is an evacuation unit? They go in after the battle to collect the dead. He said, near Kupiansk. Kupiansk is completely in Russian hands. Yes, Ukraine just said, maybe we will have to withdraw from Mirgorod. They pulled out of Mirgorod 5 months ago. They left down to the last man who did not surrender. Inna left. Now they're only just starting to say, maybe we will have to pull out. Guys, you are already so far from Mirgorod. That is another matter. This Mirgorod, Dmitrov, a Russian name. Well, what is he saying? Near Kupiansk, when they pushed the Ukrainians out, there was a more or less stable line of contact. In the end, they pushed the Ukrainians out. He expected to see quite a lot of Russian bodies. After all, Russia was attacking. He says, no, 10 to 1. There are Ukrainian bodies everywhere, and they are throwing people from the street into those positions. The videos that come out show exactly that, how they are thrown in there. Another acquaintance was in the Kharkiv region when the Russian army entered, took the high ground, and set up a defensive line. In front of their combat positions, there were open fields stretching about 2 kilometers. The Ukrainians bring up infantry, but it is just foot soldiers, nothing prepared. They are people from the street. They normally send 3, 4, 5 waves of cannon fodder. Then the idea is to wear down and somehow break Russia's strength. And only afterwards they send the experienced troops. He says completely unprepared people arrive. They are pushed out and sent forward. And he says we almost never even shot at them. The artillery tears them up far from our positions. On the way across those 2 kilometers, they do not even make it a kilometer alive. The artillery simply destroys them. And that is Ukraine. Soon it will be Poland. Soon it will be Romania. Because leaders are watching. They watch how to grab people properly, how to do all this. So,
they are learning from Ukraine.
If the Czech Republic returns to the previous authorities, then it will be the Czechs. And to understand Ukraine now, when they are flooding Ukraine with migrants who go after girls and women, there will be a new non-Slavic Ukrainian population. Right now they are bringing in workers there en masse, and the men are being thrown into the meat grinder as fast as possible. And this is the future of the Czech Republic. This is the future of all European countries. The task of the European Union is to replace all of you.
Yes, the Euro-Islamic Caliphate, that project, I have already read about it.
The question is simple. Will you go to your graves like the Czechs, like sheep, or will you fight back? Same goes for the Germans and everyone else. I think Western Germans will fight against the United States just to die as quickly as possible. The French are the same. The question is, which way your people will go. In the Czech Republic, there is new leadership, and the European Union has not changed. Their goal is to reduce you to a minimum.
and to breed a new rootless race they can control as biological material.
That is true, yes, that is true. Next question from the viewers. If Mr. Vladimir Vladimirovich Putin really assigns General Chaikov to lead the operation in Ukraine, would that mean the whole operation in Ukraine is effectively over? And one more. Will President Vladimir Putin keep his position as Russia's leader in the future until the end of his term? And are enemies inside Russia planning a coup?
The enemies of Russia are always planning a coup. Nothing new. Most of these enemies sit in Western Europe and meet at various conferences. For some reason, almost none of them have Slavic surnames. That is an interesting point as well. Think about that for a moment. Well, I do not see any coups in the near or mid-term future in Russia. The army will not do it. Eastern Slavs do not have a tradition of the army seizing power. There simply is no such thing. It might support one political force or another, but it will never just seize power for itself. There will also be no military coup in Ukraine. Some of the Russian channels talked about it at the start. I tell everyone, boys, that will not happen. Ukrainians are Russian. They may be psychologically degenerate Russians, but they are still Russians. And we simply do not have that kind of history. That happens among Latin peoples and among Arabs. We do not have that at all. Just not. And never have. Where some military leader would say, now I will be Tsar. That simply never happened in our history. Even Kolchak, when he was dictator of Eastern Russia during the Civil War, was no longer an active officer. He held a purely civilian post, a civilian politician. Yes, he had been an admiral in his time, and many still called him that, but he was no longer serving. We simply do not have that. As for how the war will go, it is impossible to say right now. There are mixed signals coming from different sides, which makes it very hard to understand. There is, of course, a large faction that wants everything finished now. Let's send Oreshnik. Oreshnik will speak for United States. They said it very bluntly and rightly so. This needs to be drilled into the heads of the entire European elite. First and foremost, we will destroy you and your families. Not the people in general, but you personally. You scoundrels who think you will survive and profit from this. No, you will be the first to burn in hell. Only that way can we deal with these pests. These blood-sucking parasites, they are barely slept last night.
No problem.
They are parasites. They are blood-sucking parasites. They think they can make a lot of money. They already made a lot from the coronavirus pandemic and from this war. Yes. Venderline and her husband earned $1 billion.
Yes. Yes. And everything's fine, right?
And everything's fine. And I'm also going to make a lot of money off destroying all European races. She is, you know, just that stupid. Venderline has 6 children. Well, you could at least say that. At least she tried to do something about the demographic crisis.
You know,
but they asked her, will your children go to war? She smiled and said, no, of course not. I know it's blunt to say it like that, but it's true. Of course none of her children will go to war. You, the lowly people, the insignificant ones, you and your children will die. And we are supposed to profit from this? We are the elite.
Yes. Thank you. One more question for the final 3 minutes. Is there anyone in Russia who could immediately replace Vladimir Vladimirovich Putin if something happened to him? If so, would political continuity be maintained? And what is your opinion of the former president of the Russian Federation, Dmitry Medvedev? Thank you very much.
Well, there is a line of succession under the Constitution. So there is no need to say who or how. There's a direct line showing who is next in line. Well, the line, the queue. I translated that from English. There is someone in the direct line who goes next. So there is no need to guess. Medvedev, well, my sources inside the Kremlin told me he has truly changed. Because he used to play a role, he was a more liberal man. But now he has suddenly become very tough. They say he really has changed like that. He has revised his views, and he is one of those who says we should strike. To be honest, I believe we should strike. We should make an example of Europe, or of Estonia. And I would say there is that Polish base on the border that funnels equipment and people into Ukraine. Give them an hour or two to get out. Then erase the base. Not just hit it once or twice, but make sure not a single patch of living grass remains. Burn it completely. If anyone remains, well, that will be your problem, boys. And now this is your only warning. After that, it will go after capitals, elites, and military bases.
You were freezing out there.
Europeans have always only understood power. They said the English would seize Russian tankers. They were feeling very brave. They've got some really big balls over in England. They sent two ships. The Russian tanker was sailing with a Russian frigate. They quickly turned back. They came running back to England with their tails between their legs. Well, next time there will be a war. All right. Our northern fleet is bigger than the entire modern fleet of England. Well, if you want to fight, then let's fight. So what? We are not afraid of it. We do not want it, but we are not afraid of it. For some reason, Europeans do not want to understand that.
Stanislav, thank you very much for your time, for your answers, and for the high quality of the information. Now I have to translate this into Czech. No problem.
I think you will manage fine.
No problem. Thank you very much. I hope we meet in a week. And thank you very much for Scott Ritter. We had a conversation, and it was unbelievable. Would it be possible to meet Larry Johnson, for example?
Through you, through your recommendation. I will ask.
Please. So, dear friends, that was Stanislav Krapivnik.